Stand, please. 2 Kings chapter 3. For the last three or four Sunday nights, I have had very short sermons, yes? I am making no promises tonight. All right. Verse 1. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, was Ahab a good guy? No. Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, Samaria being the capital, not for the entire time. The capital had been at other places, but it was the main capital in the north. And he was there in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 12 years. And now you're going to read one of the two times for 20 kings in the north where you have a bad report, but not as bad as the others. Every king in the north, are you hearing? 20 kings, every one of them are evil. Two of them weren't as evil as the others. Do you want that to be your record? Evil, but not as evil as... By the way, we do that in America. Yeah, I'm wicked, but not as wicked as... Okay, here we go. He wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. For he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Unbelievably, he broke with Baal worship. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. You remember those sins which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. So he got, look up here, he got rid of Baal, but he hung on to the bulls. So he wasn't as evil. We're going to talk about worship tonight. If I ever hear one Christian in this room ever flap their jaws and say, the Bible doesn't talk about worship, I'm going to take this CD and beat you over the head with it. Because actually, 1 and 2 Kings, that's the major theme. As you'll see tonight. Worship. So what's the big deal, Pastor? Well, we'll see. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing as we look tonight at your word. May it be profitable and simple. I desire, Father, for some of us that have been in this church for years and heard the same thing over and over to actually get how simple this is. May we hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, what a great night of music, huh? Atong, which daughter was that? Wow. I think we could hear that again next Sunday. What do you think? I liked it. Maybe the other daughter's playing next Sunday. I don't know. But that was really nice. Evil worship, but not as evil as. I think it was about 10 years ago. I'm not sure the exact day. I'm not going to say who, because I don't want to make this about a person. But my wife and I think Pastor Kwok, but it could have still been Jerry Milburn. We went to a funeral for a family member of somebody working in our school in North Chicago. Was that you? Well, in the funeral, which the funeral was horrible, but the worst part was, of course, in these kinds of funerals, they have the funerals where people get up and say things. Have you been to those? And most of them weren't bad. They were kind of boring and rambling, and the people weren't prepared, and they went all over the place. But my favorite one was a lady came up. She stood up, I don't know if it was behind the pulpit or in the front, and she started talking. And she went on and on and on, but the lady forgot that she was talking, supposed to be saying something about the person that had died, and she talked about herself. And I remember, you were there, if you were there, and you're like, does anybody notice she's not talking about the guy? She's talking about herself. My friend, what goes on in many churches today has nothing to do with Christianity. It is people talking about themselves. I'm in love with myself. I'm so wonderful. When you talk to them about the basic Christian doctrines, they go to sleep. You know, things like justification by faith? Who cares about stuff like that? Tell me about me. Strange. Well, I'm going to start off with a confession. I have been wrong occasionally in my life. But I have never been more wrong than about this matter. In 1976, while at Trinity Baptist Church in Rockville, Maryland, Pastor Myers invited all of the young people that were in high school or college age, and I was college age, going to school there in D.C., that he invited all of us to a youth retreat on a Friday night. I think it was just a Friday night. Well, we all got together. I don't remember how we drove there. I don't remember any of the details. I just remember going, and I was excited to go because I thought, well, I'll get to meet other Christians, you know, my age. I will get to eat. And when you're in the Navy, eating is very important when you're single. Hello? I mean, trust me, if you've ever eaten Navy chow, you want, you know, it's not as bad as the Marine Corps, but it, So I thought, well, this will be wonderful. And he said, we're going to have some games and some fun, and we're going to get to eat. Did I mention eating? And we're going to sing, and somebody's going to preach, and we're going to eat. So we arrived that night, and several different things went on. We played some games. We talked. We ate. By the way, speaking of eating, have you ever seen Jericho Valena eat? Jericho Valena eats more than any three men I have ever met. I don't know why I bring that up. I'm like, by the way, I used to be able to eat like that. That's what you look like this for. Anyhow, you say, why did you bring, I love Jericho. I love to watch him eat. Well, that night we went into the preaching service, and this was in 1976 or early 1977, and I made the biggest mistake of my adult life. We went into a church service of Independent Baptist in 1976, or maybe in early 77, I don't remember which, and they had up here in 1976 or 1977 a rock band. Now, for Hailing and her cousin and for the guy that's sleeping right next to her and all the rest of you young people, you guys, you have to understand, I grew up on classic music, classic rock. I actually grew up on rock music. I'll never forget walking into that room and seeing those guys up there, and they were a bunch of guys that, by the way, they couldn't play, they couldn't sing. Yes? And they were trying to do rock. And I can still remember how I was angry. I was upset. I never heard about it was wrong because it was new. Nobody was doing it. I just thought, oh my goodness, I just left this garbage. And now we got people up on that platform trying to play this garbage and call it Christian. This is what I thought. Everybody listening? In 1976, I thought, this will never last. But what I failed to understand was something simple. Do you know what I failed to understand? By the way, in 1976, this didn't float. Does anybody know what happened? By about 1990, the pastors were all people, are you looking at me, my age, that grew up on rock music, and they thought it was fine to bring that rock music right into the church. And do you know the reason it won? Because we just outlived the old people. Do you know how they change churches like this? They look at old people or older people in this room and they say, who cares about them? We'll change this music. They'll be gone in 5 or 10 years and we'll just win. That's what happened. Man, was I wrong. I never thought anybody, listen, I never thought anybody would want to listen to something like Jimi Hendrix in church. I thought that was like pagan music and then there was Christian music. I didn't know you could try to have pagan Christian music. Well, I was wrong. We're going to go in your notes. And boy, am I serious about the first point. The first thing we learn in this passage, let's read the passage again. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned how long? 12 years. And he wrought, or he did what? What does it say? Evil in the sight of the Lord. Minimally, folks, and I want you to look at me. There is nothing in this passage about how tall he was, how handsome he was, how cool he was, how he dressed. There's only one issue. Worship. He did evil in the sight of the Lord because he decided he would make it up in his own way. He'd get rid of the Baals, but he'd have the bulls. Who cares what God says? What's the big deal? We just have a few bulls we're bowing down to. What's the big deal? God Almighty called that evil. You look at me. This flippant attitude that I see in a third to a half of our church, whatever, has nothing to do with Christianity. This is the breaking line, folks. It's good or evil according to worship. So this little thing, and by the way, it's infiltrated fundamentalism. The Bible church movement is almost defunct today because, by the way, we don't have Baals, but we have lots of bulls and more baloney. By the way, I want you, is that what the text says? Why was he called evil? For his worship. Not because, we don't know what kind of government policies he had. We don't know how what he did with the finances. We don't know what he did with the military. We just know he had bull worship and God called him evil. Worship is a serious matter. It's much more serious than we take it in your notes. Worship is the sole basis of God's negative evaluation and judgment. It is the only reason God called him evil, directly anyhow. Secondly, worship was the primary basis of judging Israel's kings. We're just going to look at a few of them, but my friend, when the Bible looks at the kings, it doesn't tell you, well, he's evil because he doesn't look like me. Or he's evil because he's not handsome. Or he's evil because he doesn't know how to dress. It calls kings evil or good according to their worship of the living God. So the next time I hear the stupidity of, so what's the big deal? I'm going to hit you with something upside the head. The entire book of 1 and 2 Kings says the same thing over and over and over and over. And then we have Christians that, oh, God doesn't care. He doesn't? Then why does he keep calling people evil? In your notes. Worship, obviously, then impacted everything else. When you're worshiping a false god or worshiping the true God falsely, everything becomes impacted by that worship. 1 Kings 13:33. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but he made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off. Do you mean worship? God destroyed someone's kingdom because of worship? Chapter 15:25. And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. 15:33. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all of Israel in Tirzah. This was one of the first capitals. 24 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. 25, Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and of course, for the worst of the worst in the north, our buddy Ahab. Just read the highlighted parts. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. By the way, please look at me. And the only thing we're talking about is worship. I want you to look at me. I preached a sermon for 1 hour and I think 5 minutes on the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 3, and had half of this congregation sleeping, and it was on the subject of word-centered worship. And yet we have churches all over this area that are now evangelical. In order to reach people, there's no more Bible. The pastor doesn't carry a Bible. The people don't read the Bible. The Bible has nothing to do with an evangelical church. Folks, we don't decide what we're going to do. He has told us what to do. And this whole thing of, well, whatever, you know, I kind of like the rock and roll service better. And by the way, I like drama too. By the way, I love drama in its place. Show me in the Bible where that's in the Bible. We can do that on Sunday. Now, you say, you're going to make Katie mad. By the way, love Katie and don't care. We'll never have drama here as long as I'm here on Sunday morning. Because it's not prescribed in the Scripture for worship publicly. Some of you don't even understand that. We just think we do whatever we want to do. If we want to have dancing women, we do some sacred, by the way, I always like it, sacred dance. By the way, guys are looking at girls in not very sacred ways when that happens. No, we won't be having sacred dance either. The only thing I would have changed about the service tonight, by the way, I think they're out. We needed to have Brian singing with this group to get a little more volume. Didn't you all think? I don't know why I bring that up, but he has lots of volume. In your notes, let's read this passage. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, and the king of the Zidonians. And he went and served Baal, or Baal, which is the Hebrew word for Lord, but it's a false god. And he worshipped him, and he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built. Man, he just went crazy. And Ahab made a grove. He didn't have enough Baals and worshipping Baals. He decided to make a sacred grove, probably in a high place. And he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Worship is serious. Please look at me. I've heard all the baloney. Music is neutral. So what's the big deal? It's only music. God is, by the way, here's my favorite. Everyone hear me. God is only interested in the heart. Did you just read all those passages? God is pronouncing people evil, not for their, my heart, but for how they worshiped God. Where do we make this stuff up? God's only interested in my heart. By the way, He's not interested in your dirty, rotten heart. He's not interested in it at all. Ridiculous. But Pastor, we like it. Yes, sinners like sin. And they don't mind bringing the sin right into church. Number two, worship is a scriptural matter. Now, this is a little trickier. I'm not going to try to defend it tonight because we don't have time. When the Bible says He wrought evil, evil in the Bible has the presupposition. Look up here. When you step back, when the Bible calls something evil, that has the understanding of God has taught something and you're not doing it. Evil is not just how you feel about something. God has said some things and you have decided to do your own thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, talks about sin being the transgression of the law. So when the Bible calls him evil, there's an assumption that God has said, this is what you're supposed to do and you're doing this. So the concept is worship is always about Scripture. Always. In your notes, I say this, the Old Testament saints and kings knew some things. They first of all knew who to worship. Who to worship. It's very clear. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Last night, late at night, I don't know why, my television, I don't have cable, I have an antenna up in the attic, one of these HD antennas, so I get some stuff sometimes. I got some weird channel late last night, 57. It is called Christian Station. And I saw some guy on it, and man, they had a group up here. Of course, you know, they had to have the women swaying. By the way, I want to ask a question. Why don't they have them back there where you can't see them? Because guys like to look at... The women are swaying, and they had the main guy there singing. And I don't know the song. I had never heard the song, but the song went on for 10 minutes. And he kept saying, he must have said 50 to 100 times, consume me, consume me, consume me, consume me. There was only one problem. I listened to the song from the beginning to the end, and there was not one thing about Christianity in the song. The song could have been about your boyfriend. Listen, the song could have been about a Catholic could have sung it. A Mormon could have sung it. A Muslim could have sung it. There was nothing about Christ and what he did on the cross. There was nothing about God the Father. There was nothing about the work of the Spirit. There was nothing Christian in the song except religion and emotion. May I say this to you? Do you listen to that kind of music? Do you recognize the problem? I would much rather you listen to pure secular music and listen to good Christian music than this junk. Because it's not Christian. Consume me. Consume me. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, what is he talking about? When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Consume me. Consume me. One sounds like Christianity, one sounds like religion. Do you see the problem? By the way, look at me. God said you must worship me, not worship your emotions, thinking that is me. I think most of this junk that goes on in contemporary Christian circles is emotions under the guise of religion. You say, I don't like this. Can I be honest with you? Don't care. I'm done with caring about fools and foolishness. We're a fundamental Baptist church. We should know these things. We should recognize paganism when we see it. Look at me, folks. If you can sing a song and everybody under the sun can sing it, I think it's probably not a Christian song. I think it's a false religious song. And God condemns that. All right. I think God not only told us who to worship, but He also told us how to worship. Pastor Warren, how can you say that? Thou shalt not make unto thee any what? Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them. I think this forbids all forms, I think, of idolatry. But do you now know that we now have people that, so-called evangelicals, that have icons, and the people go over and, it's like, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible forbid that? No problem. You see, in the Old Testament, when I talk about Scripture, I'm saying God told the people how to worship. He told them who to worship. He also says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Which I think means you don't get up and sing a song and 200 times say, oh Lord, oh Lord. That's being using God's name in vain, like paganism. Thinking, by the way, what did Jesus say? I think he said something like, by just saying it over and over, you think God's going to hear you? That's paganism. Next page. I can see this is one of my popular sermons, isn't it? I say in your notes, what might this limit? And you got to hear that, by the way, I'm using very precise language. From the normal public worship? Well, it probably eliminates so-called dance. It eliminates art. It eliminates drawing. It eliminates idolatry. It eliminates drama. It eliminates all of that because none of that is taught in the Scripture for the believer to do in public worship. Number three, the Bible also tells, at least the Old Testament saints and us also, when to worship. You say, when do you worship? The Old Testament saint was to worship on the Sabbath day, and they were to keep it holy. The believer worships on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. That's when in Acts 20, verse 7, it says the disciples came together. That's when we worship. There's a reason why we do this, folks, because the Bible teaches it. In the Old Testament, it even focused on where to worship. You say, what was wrong with the bull worship? Pastor one, come on. What's the big deal? Well, I think the big deal is we're going to go in the verses in your notes, and I'm going to give you the statement. Go all the way to the bottom of the last verse, and I want you to read that with me, 1 Kings 12. And then we'll go back to the top. He set one, this is Jeroboam, he set one of his bulls in what city? Does anybody know, I'm not asking you exact, but where is, there's, he set one in Bethel and one in Dan. Where are those two locations approximately? Does anybody know? Yeah, one in the south, one in the north. Actually, folks, Bethel was pretty close to Jerusalem. It was about the farthest major southern city. Dan was in the north. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want anybody from the north coming to Jerusalem to worship. But the believers, God said, when you worship in the Old Testament, you're to go to Jerusalem, and worship there, bring your sacrifices there. And so what he said was, come on, what's the big deal? Who cares about the Bible? Just because a pastor doesn't wear a Bible, just because a... I don't know what so-called pastors will do today. There is nothing off limits. I hear, look at me, I've heard people say, you see it, you can see it online any place you want. We have them every place. Using filthy language from the pulpit, and they call themselves pastors? Telling dirty jokes? No preaching, no teaching? Strange group of people. By the way, God said, I'm telling you, this is who you worship me. You know the God that's revealed Himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who delivered you out of Egypt in the New Testament, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You worship God. You worship God via what Jesus did on the cross by means of the Holy Spirit. You come to that God. When you sing unto that God and you sing about that God. You don't sing about yourself. You don't sing foolishness. Seems like it's pretty straightforward. Pastor, what's wrong with Bethel? Come on, what's the big deal? Well, in your notes, Deuteronomy 12. God told them who to worship, how to worship, when to worship, and where to worship. We don't have the where today except the local church gathered together. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord thy God, thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it all the days of that you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods. I want you to look at me. Bringing in pagan ideas directly into church is directly forbidden. Just because people, you say, well, Pastor, I like to drink beer, so why don't we, on Super Bowl Sunday, have a big giant screen TV and drink some beer and roast some brats? I mean, Pastor Koch would be happy when Green Bay wins, won't he? Well, he will be happy if Green Bay wins. They do have a better chance than... What's the other team in Chicago? I can't remember. Look at verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose, out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek. And thither shall thou come. And thither shall you bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows, your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. Verse 8, you shall not do after the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Verse 11, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose. Over and over, I give you a selection. In the bottom of that section, I say this. This seems simple to Ralph Warren. It's called the regulative principle or the prescriptive principle. Scripture regulates worship. That's all. All right, I'm going to give you the rest. By the way, folks, is this hard to you? Look up here. Is this hard? Are you God? Let me ask you a question. Are you God? If there is a God, and that is the God of the Bible, that has revealed Himself throughout history as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God delivered His people through the Red Sea, the God that worked through the whole Old Testament, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that sent His Son into the world to die for our sins so that we can have access to Him, don't you think that God has the right to decide how you worship Him? It's that simple. It's amazing to me. Look up here. I think many people come to a church service and they're like that woman that's coming up here to talk about the person and talks about themselves for 10 minutes. They are worshiping. And they don't, because by the way, if you decide that you'll worship God any way you want to, you're saying, I'm really God. God prescribes worship. In your notes, Scripture regulates worship. It does so at least three ways. It does so by command, meaning do this. It does so by teaching, and it does so by example. And here is Ralph Warren at his worst. No Baals, no bulls, and no baloney. And may I say, we got lots of baloney acting like Christianity in America, where the pastor is cool, hip, neat, and you're like, but what about the Lord? What about His Word? What about truth? No, just baloney. Number three, I think worship is a simple matter. I might talk about this in a couple of weeks on a Sunday night. I don't know. 1 Timothy 3, now this is, of course, New Testament worship, which is more simple than the Old Testament. Paul says to Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Meaning, I'm writing the whole book of Timothy to tell you some things about what's supposed to happen in a local church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And then he tells Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance. Everything you do needs to be focusing on this." Folks, if you don't know any other verse, this verse you must know. This is the form of a New Testament church. Give attendance, first of all, to reading in your notes. Reading the Word, that's the first statement. And I mean by that the public reading of the Word. I mean, that's part and parcel. I've taught this many times. I'm not going to focus on it tonight. Secondly, and I'm going to go to the end, to doctrine. That means explaining the Word. A pastor's fundamental job is reading the Word of God, explaining the Word of God. Thirdly, applying the Word of God. That's exhortation. So how in the world can you have a Bible-believing church? Look up here. When the Bible is not read, the Bible is not explained, and the Bible is not applied, there are churches in this area that say they're evangelical. You would learn more Bible from a Roman Catholic church than you would from that church. That is evil worship. You say, what else is supposed to go on? Minimally. I'm not going to focus on it tonight. I might talk about this Wednesday night. Singing the Word. Do you remember Ephesians 5:19? I mean, singing the Word, Colossians 3:16. Both of those passages talk about the hymns, the Old Testament psalms, the hymns, and spiritual songs, which all derive themselves from biblical teaching or biblical psalms. We're to be singing those in church. Everyone look at me, and this is the key. We are to be doing this. By the way, nobody can worship for you. We worship. The church worships. We sing. We sing unto the Lord. Lastly is implementing the Word. And all I mean by implementing the Word is all the other teachings of Scripture that we are supposed to implement, such things as baptism, Lord's Supper, praying, fellowship, those sorts of things. Our Puritan forefathers emphasized two things, and I might speak on this in about 3 weeks. They emphasized, and they meant the same things. For the New Testament Christian, they emphasized, first of all, gospel worship, because the gospel was the center of worship, not just repeating the gospel, but the fact, how do we get back to the Father? Through worship or through what Jesus did on the cross? We get back to God not through singing some kind of modern worship, but we get back to God through what Jesus did on the cross, the gospel. So they emphasize gospel worship, or sometimes they would call it this, the simplicity of worship. Number four. Read the text again with me. This king wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. Everyone look at me. I have in my notes about 25 verses. I'm not going to read them tonight. I want you to get this and we're finished. Do you know what the bottom line is? Look up here. Jeroboam made a decision. When the nation split in half, the first king, Jeroboam, by the way, there were two Jeroboams in the north. One was much later. The first Jeroboam said, I want to break with the worship of the south. So I'm going to establish a place to worship in Dan and one in where? Bethel. I don't want you to go to Jerusalem. You worship up here. What's the big deal about Jerusalem? What's the big deal about idols? I like idols. So the entire north went that way. Listen. I say number four, worship is a what? You know how worship is a stubborn matter? Have you ever tried to find someone that would say, I believe the Bible does not teach that, and I am going to change? One of the first great missionaries, you ever heard of him? Adoniram. He left the United States as a Congregationalist. He believed in baptizing babies by sprinkling. on the way to the mission field, he and another guy. Do you know the other guy? You should know the other guy. Didn't you learn this stuff? Probably. Ooh. I'll let you figure out who the other guy is. Reading their Bibles came to the position, are you listening? That baptism by immersion of believers was biblical. And they lost all of their support back in the 1800s before they got where they were going. How many people have done that you know? I ask this question. How many churches that have gone that say, you don't need to bring your Bible anymore, we're just going to worship. How many of them have gone back to being biblical? First King, look here, First King, 931 B.C., took the north and said, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. You can worship God like you want to. 931 B.C., and the very last king, Hosea, in 732 B.C., listen, no, it wasn't 722. In 722 B.C., the very last king, 20 kings in a row were still worshiping God in an evil way. Nobody ever changed in the north. Is worship stubborn? I want to ask you a simple question. I'm not picking on you because you're here. Have you ever noticed that people that come to Sunday morning only come to Sunday morning? I could have the Apostle Paul here on a Sunday night. They wouldn't be here. If I said I'm doing a special series and Paul is going to be teaching next Sunday morning in Sunday school, they still won't be here. You know why? What you do in worship dominates your life. You make decisions and that's it. Can I tell you something? Worship is serious. Will we worship God in a biblical way? Or will we be one of those churches that say, you know, what's the big deal? Come on, the kids like rock music. The kids in this church like rock climbing and Xbox more than church. Why don't we do that? Because it's not Christian? Let's stand.